Welcome to the Huntington Way Show, where we help parents navigate the educational maze. I'm Yvonne Strawn, your host for the Huntington Way Show, and I am also the author and founder of InspirationalHomeschooling.com. I'm speaking with Representative Don Wilson, and he currently represents the Colorado House of Representatives District 20, and he serves on the Committee on Education, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, our children's futures, college certifications, licensures, credentials, and apprenticeships. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors, Inspirational Homeschooling and the Huntington Learning Center, for bringing this show to you. You're listening to Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. Please like and subscribe to Power Talk 1040 on YouTube. Welcome to the show, Don.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for what you do. This is a great program you have here.
Oh, thank you so much. I just want to help parents. Really? Yep. So as a representative for Colorado House of Representatives District 20, serving on the House Committee of Education, what matters do you help oversee?
So the Education Committee sees almost any legislation that deals with some form of education, and that can be from early childhood education through college. A lot of what we see is based on the K through 12. We don't see as much in the higher education realm, but really on what policies we need to have in that K through 12 charter schools and those kind of policies. One thing we don't do that a lot of people misunderstand is we don't do a whole lot with the budget. No. So school finance budget, the JBC, the Joint Budget Committee handles that. We do look at it. We do kind of approve it. But we don't have as much as people think to do with that as common.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's great to clarify. So funding for K-12 education in Colorado has been increasing. According to Chalkbeat Colorado, funding increased between 10 and 12% more per student for the typical district in 2021. And the proposed budget for the 2024-2025 fiscal year includes an additional $564.1 million for K-12 education, which would bring per pupil spending to $11,319 per year. But even with this increased funding, it seems that student achievement has statistically fallen or just minimally improved. And I look at the SAT scores from 2017, where they're at 1,014, and then it kind of wavers down a little in 2019 at 1,001. And then in 2021, it went up to 1,011, and then now we're at 990. So, even with just throwing some of that money towards it, I'm wondering if it's helping. Do you have any ideas on how to address the declining achievement of Colorado students?
Well, I have my ideas, and I want to take a step back to the funding itself. I think, mm-hmm. We see this constant growing in funding, but I don't think it's a funding problem. It's mm-hmm. a priority problem. Mm-hmm. What we see is we increase funding, and at the same time, we increase other requirements, other administrative items. The state gets the ability to say, hey, look how much we're putting into education. And just last year alone, I could probably name four or five bills that were adding another burden to our school system, whether it be an additional psychologist or an additional requirement that requires another administrator to work on. So it's very misleading to think that this additional funding is going to student outcomes, which is one thing we're really missing, and it shows in these numbers. Mm-hmm. For addressing the student achievements in Colorado, we need to get back to the basics. We need to look at our classroom size, what we're doing to engage the students. For me personally, when my son was in middle school, I was at a parent-teacher conference, and the teacher approached him and said, who are you and what class do you have in mind? To me, that meant there is a total disconnect between his teachers and him. Yeah. He's getting lost in the classroom, and that's what we see so often. So we really need to work on getting students in that connection, getting that personal experience where they're learning and getting the tools to be successful learners, not the tools to pass a test, but the tools to figure out how to pass the test.
Yeah, that would be very helpful, I think. So I'm thinking of maybe skills that might help children in their future. And there is a list of desired skills today's employers are seeking: reliability, self-discipline, resilience, adaptability, reasoning, problem-solving, creativity, originality, and critical thinking. Employers are experiencing increased difficulty in finding applicants who have these skills. Why do you think these skills are becoming less common?
I think, you know, a couple of those, particularly resilience and adaptability, reasoning and problem solving, I think we've done our students, we've tried to give them such an positive environment that they lack the coping skills, they lack the ability to figure things out, to have those challenges. And we need to make sure that there is a sense of what happens when it doesn't work. Instead of lowering our standards, we need to give them the obstacles they need to bring that up. And we see that in our outcomes and our results is, you know, these challenges, they're not being challenged the way they need to be directly challenged. You know, we continue to lower standards in some areas. And that's not helping those employers see those results. So, you know, having some failures, having some problem solving, getting them more engaged in, you know, finding the solution, not being told what the solution is. Another thing kind of off track with that is, as far as employers and getting our students ready for employers, I think we've done a real disservice to our high school students with the job market. You know, we've pushed so hard for minimum wage increases that it's reduced the amount of jobs that students now can pursue because of the higher wage. And we've taken away a part of their learning through school and at the end of school by pushing higher minimum wage limits.
So sometimes when people are struggling, it actually builds character. And so there's always that saying out there, like, failure is really not a failure. It's just an opportunity to learn and get better. So absolutely. I think that's an amazing point that you made. Can parents and schools help children, you know, do you think parents can do more to help children develop these skills?
I think they can. I think, you know, parent engagement is so important, and it's something we need to continue to work on. And a lot of that just has to do with the conversations at home. We've, you know, back to kind of the workforce, we've gotten ourselves in a society where work is everything. And we put off the things that matter for our students when we really need to be taking the time and just having those conversations. There's so much you can learn from your student about his schooling while you're talking to your child.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the spring of 2022, there were 662,000 fewer students enrolled in undergraduate programs in the United States compared to 2021, according to the National Student Clearinghouse. A recent study commissioned by American Student Assistance and Jobs for the Future found that 81% of employers now think that they should look at skills rather than degrees, but they also feel like it's less risky to hire someone with a college degree, and that's 54% of employers feel that way. Why do you think less high school graduates are pursuing undergraduate degrees?
Well, I think the job market dictates that, and we're seeing a lot of more technical trades that that focus in areas that are prosperable in the job market without the degree. You know, you talk about the 54% that think it's less risky to hire somebody with a degree. I think those are the jobs that are looking for that commitment. Were they able to take themselves through a four-year degree and keep with it and get that done? And it used to be that they looked at a lot of things like that on a broader scale. For me, it was military. You know, did I serve my term in the military versus somebody who served their term in the college? They look for that commitment. And now, but that's also coming with a huge burden of school loans. So I think when we look at how many more employers are looking for skills rather than degrees, I think that takes one thing they're looking at is what burdens do they have on them when they come to work for you? Are they going to be stressing about school loans, or are they going to have the skills in a field that they enjoy without that burden?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, thank you, Don, for making these points. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about college and children's futures. Thank you. Welcome back to the Huntington Way Show. You are listening on Power Talk 1040 AM, 98.5 FM, and 95.7 FM. I'm your host, Yvonne Strawn, and I'm speaking with Don Wilson about education and children's futures. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yes, so we've been talking about the high school graduates and pursuing undergraduate degrees. And we were talking about the expenditures that these kids are really accruing and how that impacts them. So I'm curious, what kind of programs does Colorado offer to help our high school students accumulate college credit?
So, we've talked to off the air about Ascent and Colorado Early College programs. These are great programs that combine high school and college in the ability in your path to graduating high school. This past year, I co-sponsored two bills that kind of help with these programs, and one of them was a Senate bill that was based on career development while still in high school. And what it does is it helps fund the school while they're sending their students to maybe a third-party college program, where a student could actually take some classes in nursing, take some classes in welding or construction, and the school would get refunded for helping them get into that class and whatever expenses they occur, whether it be transportation or how that works, so that the students are getting credit for both, in a sense, for their high school and for their college. And then I also co-sponsored a Senate bill for scholarships out of high school. And this was also based on the workforce, what's needed in the workforce. It was basically a simple bill saying, hey, we're going to give scholarships to students coming out of high school that want to pursue a trade in one of these workforces. Again, nursing, firefighting, welding, construction, these classes. And it's not a big scholarship, but it gets your foot in the door to help you take those classes. And we reduce some of the restrictions on them where it doesn't require them to necessarily finish a certificate. It's just a starting point. It's just to get them introduced. And that's one thing I'm really big on is introducing them to some of these careers. Both the programs are have the ability of opening up a student to new things that they might have interest in. And that's one thing that I think our school system has lacked in the past is we teach across the line subjects when there's so much more learning in kind of a single skill. When you get into construction or nursing, you start your math, your reading, all those things kind of expand into different avenues that you're not necessarily addressing directly as a math problem or as a reading comprehension. You're learning them through other avenues.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a homeschooling mom, I always think about some of the things that we do as homeschoolers to help our kids kind of move into what their futures would be. And so one of the things that I like to do is see what they're interested in and then see what kind of programs are out there. And so what are your thoughts on placing more emphasis on, like career technical education, certifications, licensures, credentials, apprenticeships?
So that scholarship bill I mentioned for students out of high school deals a lot with that, and what it allows that scholarship even for apprenticeships, because a lot of times you might need things in an apprenticeship that you don't have. There might be tools of the trade. There might be you want to start the apprenticeship, but you don't have what you need, whether it be some sort of cost for equipment. That's to help with that. So I'm a big supporter of these. Like with the Ascent Academy, the Ascent program, you can get those credits going while you're still kind of testing out what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And homeschool students can actually participate in this as well. And how they get involved is they go through a school district and find that program and then get that funding. Is that correct?
Yes. And
Okay.
I think, back to what we were talking about earlier, these are ways to have a lower investment for possibly a higher employment outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Colorado Early College Program, how does that work? Is that something that students need to go to a specific type of school for?
I don't remember exactly the details on that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on that.
Okay. Well, so from my research, I was thinking about the Colorado Early College Program and how it allows students to complete a high school diploma or associate degree or other post-secondary credit toward the completion of post-secondary study. The student must enroll, I think, in a participating early college institution. And so those are really peppered throughout the state, and the parent, a homeschool parent, could look into, just typing up early college programs or institutions and then be able to apply for that.
Again, we're giving them that first step while they're
Yes.
still. We see a lot of students, and I've experienced it in my life, students in their final year that only have one or two classes that they need, that are they're required to take, and they could be doing more
Yeah.
towards their future at that same time.
Yes, absolutely. Now, what about programs like the Falcon Arrow Lab or some of these other programs that where the kids, like homeschool kids even, can participate in and learn how to cook and some of these different things? Are you doing anything legislative-wise to support those type of programs?
The one thing I'm very, very cognitive of on the education committee is where those programs tie in. So anything that comes before our committee that I'm looking at, I'm going to look for those avenues of where that fits in. So, for example, you mentioned Falcon Arrow Lab. Those two bills that I previously mentioned, I looked for how they can work with the public school system, even though they're a separate STEM program, and how those can feed off each other and help each other for better student results. So it's something I always keep in mind, and I'm always looking for a way to make that connection. In fact, I sat down with one of Arrow Lab's administrators not too long ago and went through those bills and said, okay, how do we use these to help the students in your program, and how do we use it to help more students in public school? Right now, Arrow Lab has a great homeschool population, but it would be nice to get a little more diverse public school participation. And so I keep an eye on what we're doing in those, and I'm always looking for something else to add to it.
Yeah, so finding these programs that are amazing and that are making an impact, sometimes even in the homeschool world, can be used to for many children. It doesn't have to be just for these specific programs. So, yeah, absolutely. I love that you're looking at that and trying to maximize the amount of children that can benefit from it. Yeah, absolutely. How can parents work with their state representatives to ensure that our children are prepared to meet the needs of future employers?
It's a big responsibility for parents, but they need to be engaged. They need to be able to let us know what they're thinking, what they're seeing that's good, what they're seeing that's bad. And another thing I think is important to understand is, as a legislator, last year we saw 600 and some bills, and we might have missed something that wasn't necessarily in our committee that's important to our community. So being aware and being able to reach out is a huge help to us as legislators, knowing what's going on in our community and how these things may affect how one of these pieces of legislation might affect our community. And being able to understand that not all legislators serve on all committees. So I may get one of my fellow legislators might get a question on education that they can't answer, but they can refer it to me. So it might not be your representative that has the answer to a particular question, just because they're not on that committee, they don't see that bill. But we can, as legislators, we tend to pass around, hey, you're on insurance committee, I have an insurance question, can you help this person? So just being aware of those items and sharing the issues with each other, you know, in your community, in the homeschool community, in the STEM program community, and getting guidance, feeding off each other and sharing that with your legislators. One thing we try to do is we, you know, I've done up probably like 10 town halls this past between sessions, and those are great opportunities for parents to come out and
Yeah.
talk about what's on their mind so we can keep an eye on it. We might not be able to come up with a bill that answers the question, but it's something we can keep an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, how can people connect with you, or how can they even connect with any legislator on a certain committee? How would they check into that?
So it's pretty simple. If you go to the Colorado General Assembly, you can pull up any legislator. If you don't know them by name, there's a way you can find the ones for your area, and it will list that legislator and what committees they're on. So it
Yes.
can help you tell you what topic you might be concerned with, and it can guide you to who is participating in that particular topic. Like I said, you can look it up by your own address on the Colorado General Assembly website, and it'll give their email information, their phone number, and again, what committees they're on, what they're working on.
Great. And do you prefer people to email you, or I saw there's also a phone number on there, that same website that you were talking about?
Yes. Usually email is best, although it takes time. We do get a lot of emails. Phone numbers work good too. Again, it might take a couple days to get back with somebody. We do tend to have very busy schedules. A lot of times an aide might get back to you and say, hey, he's working on this, but he'll get back to you, you know, on this topic shortly. So they're great avenues to catch us. We get a lot of texts, which can be difficult to respond to when you get a lot in one day, but usually most legislators in our area will, you know, come evening, start going through their texts, start going through their emails and trying to address the ones they can get to right away.
Great. Thank you, Don Wilson. I'm very thankful for what you do for our community, for your passion for these students. And I just thank you for sharing all of this with our listeners today.
Well, thank you.
This is Yvonne Strawn, today's host on the Huntington Way Show, where we support you in educating your kids. Thank you for joining us.